care about making stands, making sycamore, we learned yesterday.
We're doing a amu lato.
Very interesting. I think there's people who are very, very, it's very misused, this amu lato. Unfortunately, people think that you can ask a nodule to do whatever. It's actually very, very restricted because I were very careful what they allow to become a zilzal and all the shabbos, and therefore one has to take certain precautions. Yesterday we spoke about a halacha of having a hanor from a non-Jewish halacha. Really, this is a big question actually, when a non-Jew comes into my house, even if I don't ask him anything, and I see him going up to the light switch to put a light switch on, I've got to say to him, John, you can't do it for me.
Why can't you do it for me?
You mustn't let a non-Jew do work in your house, John. It's the chiyuv machor. What we do sometimes, we ask a non-Jew to come into our house, we'll see it's not so simple really, this, because if you have to make an objection to doing anything, how can you ever call him in?
But if it's light up, so I think you because we had to, if it's light up.
Oh, so see, we've got additional benefit, yeah. So yesterday you spoke about the halacha, that the halacha of having benefit from a non-Jew doing site review on your house is a positive benefit. That means your room is dark, you can't see what's going on, very dark, and the mice of the non-Jew comes in, even if you didn't ask him, you're just a shlema, you shouldn't be sitting in the dark like this, it's not good for you. I didn't ask him. But you can't put the light switch on, so we said in that case there, we're putting a light switch on, plus it's a brisa, I can have no hanor from that room. In fact, I can't even go sit there and just relax there anymore.
Even though he's doing it for himself as well, because he wants to read a newspaper.
So that, we said, that's a good ahitza. If the non-Jew does a melacha for himself, then we assume that he did it mainly for himself. But, so that means, Moshe, that's true, it's a dark room,
your house,
and you've got a cleaner in the house, and she wants you to tell her, you know, you've got a 10-minute break, you can relax for 10 minutes. She said, oh, thanks very much. She stopped for 10 minutes, she goes into the room, she puts the light on, she reads a newspaper. Now, she put that light on for herself, it's clear. Then, yeah, we said already last time, you could tell her to keep on, don't switch off when you go out. There's no problem, because there it's clear to herself. The only time the problem is, if the Moshe, we said, she heats up the kettle. So the Moshe, she's heating up the kettle for herself. And then you've got leftover water there. Can you use that water?
Yes.
There, Chazal said you can't. Right. Because there's a big danger that if she sees that you are the water, next time she puts the water on, she might offer you on as well.
Might be sure.
That's the problem. So that you mustn't do. In the case of a light, one light switch goes on at the end of the story. No more is done whether one person uses it or 10 use it. So in that case there, Moishi, then if she puts it on for herself, can no one offer it? And if she, Mashiach with food, any type of food that she does, then if she does it for herself, the Shirayim can't eat because we're scared that you might come and ask her, or she might do it next time, put some more on. So again, if the non-Jew, we said this yesterday, if the non-Jew did a melacha without turning from it, no one can have benefit from it. Family members, non-family members, also. Awesome. If the goy, the melacha drop on, let's say he brought something from outside of the tchum, this rabbon, he bought something from outside the tchum. In that case, there, the whole family members can't have anything. We just speak today in code, just ask them, there was a story a few years ago in camp. Why is it an interesting story? Moishe, very interesting story. What was, they ordered challahs from a bakery in London somewhere, which was meant to come by lorry, obviously, to the camp on Friday. The lorry driver, he lost his way, I don't know him. He seemed to have lost his way. He turned up on Shabbos with all the challahs. Well, that's a very interesting question. What happens now in that case?
It's out of the tuchum, out of the tuchum.
The first one is outside the tuchum. Okay, the Shabbos, he didn't do it for you, because he told him to bring it before Shabbos, really. You told him, as far as you're concerned.
It's not like the postman has got other deliveries with him.
Well, I'm afraid it doesn't help you, because he's exactly outside the tuchum when Shabbos came in.
Why didn't you bring the tuchum before Shabbos?
It's not came from outside the tuchum, and it's bought for you. You have to know if that's
he's
a problem.
He's coming special for you to do
He's coming for you, but he was talking on a Friday.
Why on Friday?
It's not my fault he got lost and he came on Shabbos.
Oh, but am I saying he's doing a block of you, we should do on Shabbos?
No, he's doing a block to rectify what he did wrong. He blundered the case. He messed up coming. So I'm not sure it's on the melacha, I don't know. It's interesting, you have to look into this very interesting thing. He was meant to come. If I ordered something from Amazon on Friday.
Well, bottom line, he is doing a block of you on Shabbos.
No,
he's bringing you the challahs on
Shabbos. He's not doing it for you on Shabbos. He was meant to be on Friday.
Yeah, but the mice he didn't.
And that, so now he's rectifying what he did wrong.
We don't think
that's much better. I'm saying, that's much better.
He's got his own interest.
I don't think so, because he's doing it for himself.
Paying,
he's not doing it for himself. I don't know. We had to learn the Shabbos. Reich to Shabbos actually is. Very Reich to Shabbos. All the Chalas actually. All the Chalas of Shabbos. It's a good Shabbos, a very good Shabbos. I don't know what happened exactly there, but it's a good question. So I said, well, that could be a case. Or I told you this story with the case of Amazon. Someone told me, he had this in Meister himself, told me, he ordered a bottle, he has some kosher visitors coming through for Shabbos morning. So he ordered an expensive bottle of whiskey, a bit more than one actually. And Meister ordered at least one bottle of whiskey, expensive bottle of whiskey, to come for Friday. Because of his muzzle, the guy turned up on Friday, there was no one there. No one opened the door. So I never opened the door, I don't know what happened exactly. So then I tried, but no answer. So Shabbos morning, he's been in his meal, so knock at the door. There's a little yokel outside on the motor, I don't know where it was on, came in, knocked out, someone told me, he says, hello, I'll come to give you a whiskey. So this guy said to me, I said, I'm sorry, I can't take it from you, he said. I'm not taking it. You have to bring it out. I said, okay, so he went off. When he got back to his room, where he had a visitor, they said, what are you going to talk about? Why can't you take it? First of all, he was meant to bring it on Friday. No one, he says, he could have left it here, it's not his fault, that's one thing. Then, from coming outside of Tchum, they said...
It wasn't Tchum on Friday.
Right,
the
probably wouldn't come outside of Tchum, because it was on Friday. It was in the air of the guy.
Warehouse.
So he's probably, I don't know, he goes back to the warehouse, he goes to where he sleeps at night, I don't know where he goes. So that's an interesting question, so what to speak about. It's a good question, actually. I'm saying, nowadays, with these delivery services you get, then it's a good question, what happens to all this? Or,
why did he have to send it away? He could leave it there and have the Lord's and after Shabbos.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what the guy said to me. He said to me, yeah, you're right, actually, you've got to take it there. He said to the guy, I can't take it. The guy said, look, I don't know about you, like, he says, no problem. I'm happy to open the box for you. That's number one.
Yeah.
I'm happy to sign for you. Number two.
Yeah,
that didn't say. And also, he says to open a box for you. All three things I don't mind doing for you. Yeah, you're right. I didn't say I want to drink as well. I didn't say that. No,
it makes it easier.
Yeah, if you said that.
Himself.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Definitely. But Kitzer, that was a shy. So this is what's going on. So the Meister, this is the thing. But Rabbanan, if you've made a machor to the guy comes to your house and it's going up to the light and says, John, don't put that light on. He said, no, show me, you can't sit in the dark. Put the light on. Then you can have an off that light because no one told him to do it. In fact, I objected to him doing it. He can't answer me now in that room and I told him he shouldn't do it. In that case, you can have an off, otherwise not.
The next week he'll do it again.
And that's what he'll do.
You've got to stop him. Next you have to stop him.
So why can't they stop him? So why can't they stop
him? He's saying it clear my heart. I said, I won't worry that he's going to do it for you. It's not normal for someone, when you tell someone not to do something, he still does a thing. I'm very rare. It's not a normal occurrence. You tell someone not to do something. I said, I had this problem actually with my mom's journey. I said, what's very awkward actually? He, for some unknown reason, decides to do his hedge on Shabbos morning.
What happened?
No, I'll tell you what happens. The problem is, I share a head with him. So he's very nice, he comes over to my side, he starts doing my side. That's why it's very awkward, that my side. It's very awkward. First of all, it's not right. He should be doing work on my block. So I said to him, nah, I can't explain to him. I can't say
he
can't do it.
He's doing also that his head should look nicer, because it's the one.
Why does he have to look nice and shabby?
He's coming to my house, to my garden path, he starts doing the hedge. So I couldn't say to him, you can't do block on me on shabby, because next week I'm going to knock on his door, and asked to put my heating off, let's say, for example. So I didn't know what to say to him. I said, you know, you shouldn't bother. It's too much of a bother. You shouldn't do it. He said, no bother. I'm happy to do it. I couldn't get him to stop. Anyway, mm-hmm. In the end, I told him, I really am happy with him doing it. Stop. I tell you, it's very awkward when I said to him, yeah? Now, there, I made him a heart. I told him I don't want to do it.
Please.
Very, very awkward. I told him, don't do it. I'm very happy. I do it myself. I like doing it. My children like doing it. They get enjoyment doing it. He said, no, he wants to do it himself. He likes doing it. But I said, what you can do? There's not much you can do then.
What time was this on Saturday?
This what time? It's about 2 o'clock. I think. I'm 100% sure. About 2-ish.
Which Saturday was it? This Saturday?
Oh, I'm not talking about which. I don't know what it was. Saturday. Right.
Sorry, I mentioned.
Is
that same halacha turning like off?
Oh, I'll count that mum's now. So the halacha of having hand off from a goy is when he does a positive benefit. Mm-hmm. A positive benefit means he creates something beneficial. To remove something is not called a benefit that has us. That means, we said yesterday, to put a light on. Yesterday I do it, the guy can't put a light on. We'll see how we can do this. But the moshe, putting a light on is called a benefit. To tell a guy to switch a light off, that is not a benefit.
So you can't
because he's removing something. Of course you can sleep, but he's not creating anything. Of course, it's right time. But nice thing, I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't go to sleep before.
Yeah.
That's a sign benefit. He's not created anything beneficial. He's removed something. We said removing something is not called our loss. We said, for example, someone's got a letter which he needs to read, very important for him to read. And then I said, it's sealed. So to undo the letter, to ask the goy to tear the letter open, is removing a barrier. That is what to do. It's a chiddush, actually. Yeah. But it's quite right, a positive benefit, putting a light on, or putting a heating on when it's not cold for everyone, that's a problematic chance. So the difference is whether it's a positive benefit or a negative benefit. The question is, though, how are you going to do this? You can't ask a grown child. So that's this one we're speaking about now. And that is Chazal Asad, remember, Amir Lakum and Shabbos, for basically two reasons. One is he looks like he's a shliach, when a non-Jew does something for me. And number two, the reason why it's also is because of a Dabe Dovah. When I say to him, can you put the light on?
What's the Dabe mean?
Dabe Dovah, she must speak about something she must speak about on Shabbos. So here, if I tend to put a light on, I'm speaking about something she's written on Shabbos. Chazal Asad Amir Lakum, if you do it B'derech Rumiza, if you tell a non-Jew in an indirect way, which we'll see in these in a minute, you have done no issa of Amir Lakum. That means if I were to hint in the word covers to a non-Jew that I need this light switched off because I can't sleep, and the non-Jew does it, I may now have benefit in the word covers, because Chazal don't call it a benefit, and I can now sleep in that room. Mm. So the light on the bedroom just serves the people sleeping. So if I'm miraculous to the non-Jew, I hint to the non-Jew that it's disturbed, or I'll see how you do it, then if the non-Jew switches it off, I've done no issur on Amir Lakum, because there's two issur on Amir Lakum. One is to ask the non-Jew to do something for your child. That's issur number one. And issur number two is you mustn't benefit from what a non-Jew does. If I do it in a hint way, I've not asked him, so I haven't transgressed problem number one.
Yeah.
Having benefit from a non-Jew, it's not called having a benefit, this because it's removing something. So that would be a way of having a hanor, in inverted commas, from a non-Jew. Now what's it called, a hint? This is a bit of a tricky area. What does it mean, hinting to a non-Jew? Problem is, most of them, if you hint them, what else are we talking about?
Light disturbs me.
So if you want...
If the light goes off in a shul, like on Shabbos, can I... And it's dark, and it's not come on yet, and can you hint him and tell him, look, it's dark in the room, could you ask him to...
What do you say to which question? Good question. Can you hint to the non-Jew to put a light on? The answer is no, Moshi.
Sorry,
Moshi. The putting the light on is a benefit. That's part two of Amir Lakum. There's always two states. There's an Issa of Amir Lakum, asking a non-Jew, which is part one. And then, even if you didn't ask a non-Jew, there's a problem of benefiting from a non-Jew. So you can get around part two, we spoke about yesterday, and it's not a direct benefit. But putting a light on in a room is a direct benefit. So Moshe's case, of you've got a dark room, and you want to put a light on, and you hint to the non-Jew, put a light on, that will not help Moshe. You can't do it. Sorry, Moshe, you have to go somewhere else.
Okay, I'll go somewhere else.
This is cold.
So that's important. I'm trying is what's called a hint. So you're quite right. You say to him, what was your example?
It's
too
light in the room.
It's too light in
the room. You say to him, it's dark in the room.
Yeah, Moshe.
You could say, look, well, it's dark in the room. Could you please put it on for
me? Oh, Moshe, you just ruined the hint.
Oh, sorry.
If you say to him, it's dark in the room, it's too dark, it's too light in the room, can you switch the light off?
No.
That is not called a hint anymore. That's more or less direct. Moshe, you just ruined the last word, just ruined it.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, it's interesting. A hint way. The Maaseh Chazal says two types of hints. One hint is derech sippul. You just relate a fact to a non-Jew. The Moshe, you say to the non-Jew, it means you tell him your problem, but you don't ask him to help you. That means, for example, my bedroom light is on, I can't sleep. Now, this is an interesting question, yeah? That's clear, that's definitely Moshe. My bedroom light is on, I can't sleep. Now, can you mention the Melocha? Can you mention, I need it switched off. So some possible, once you mention an Issa, you've lost, you can't do it. Many other possible are lenient, and they say, as long as you don't ask them directly, you just say, my light is on, I can't switch it off.
No, it isn't, we can't.
What?
No, it isn't, we can't touch the lights. That's all right.
We can't touch the lights.
We can't touch the lights. Yeah, but then...
You need to say, we can't touch the lights without sandals. Say something.
Yeah, that's true. You say in our religion, it's half Sabbath.
Yeah, but then the guy will say to you, do you want me to switch it off then?
No, so that's a good point. You recall what Kai says. So, actually, you're quite right. You go out to the laundry street and say, you know, I've got a problem. I like the house, I can't sleep. So he says to me, would you like to switch it off? If you say yes, You just ruined it. That's like a symbol.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you say that would benefit. You could say to him, that would help me. But you can't say that yes. Once you say yes to him, you've now instructed him to do it. Now you realise that what's the whole idea of remiza? Why is remiza mutter? It's more story, if you think about it. Why is hinting mutter? Because al shluch shlomo kamoisoi, your shliach is everything you ask someone directly. You can't really call him your shliach when you ask someone indirectly to do something. And the isso of Dabi Dover also, the isso speaking about what isso shall you do, the hinting way, you're not speaking about isso. So both of those problems are overcome by hinting to a non-Jew. That's why hinting is a big mitzvah. That's why Chazal allowed hinting to a non-Jew. Because you've got round from Shulchan Aruch the Kabbalah, you've got from round from Dabi Dover. But then you got from Hanor. So any time there's no Hanor, that's okay. So for example, someone left his headlights on in his car, or some light on inside the car, and he's scared he's going to waste the whole battery. So he'll be allowed to turn it on to you. Oh, such a shame, I left my lights on in the car. And I can't get anything out of it today. So if the non-Jew says, oh, I can switch it off for you, then you'll say, that'd be a big benefit. It's up to you. I said, I'm not obligated to do it. It's up to you what you want to do. That's takamuta. But then, if you say to him, yeah, that would be a very big help if you do that for me, that's l'chol problematic. So you have to be careful what you say. A strong hint also is no good. Wash the chazal say, for example, someone goes up to a postman and says to him on Shabbos, why didn't you open my letters last week? So he understands it's meant to open a letter. That's like a much more direct symbol, and that's much worse, that you can't do. So it has to be a very, very subtle hint that you're giving to the non-Jew, that the non-Jew will understand that he should do something about it. Or someone left his electric flame on, his gas flame on. If you say to the non-Jew, so shame, I'm wasting so much money with the electricity running. Such a shame about it, I can't do anything about it. Hopefully the non-Jew will understand what's going on and he'll do something about it. That's really the halachas of remiza. Remiza doesn't mean dafka, as I said to you, doesn't mean dafka that you speak to him in a way. If you signal to him, gesture, for example, he comes to the room and he's showing the light switch. That's like telling him to do it. That's also no good. That's the same problem. Once the goy understands that's what you want clearly, then that's like a shlichus. That's no good.
What's a shlichus?
Shlichus is like a messenger. If you've appointed him to do it, that's the problem. So you have to be careful. When you ask a non to do something for you, you have to be careful what exactly he's doing. I'm trying to think of some more examples. Yeah, the washing. Let's say you've got something on a pot on the fire which is burning. I mean, you could really take the fire. You could really take it off the fire. But the washing. Let's say you want to turn the flame down. So you could say, I've got a pot on the fire. The food's going to burn out. So hopefully he'll understand that what he's supposed to do is to switch the fire off. Again, switching a fire off is not called a direct benefit. It's removing the fire. You're taking it, switching off the fire.
Benefit is gas bill as well.
Yeah, but that's not the, so the main benefit is the food, that the food doesn't get burnt. Yeah, see, it's an interesting way, if you're going to try to, where else you can use this. Where else have you got Derech Remiza? I think a good example of Derech Remiza.
If you're cold,
can
you ask
him
for the heating on?
Yeah, that's a little ahead to come to have a sermon. Someone who's very cold, that's the thing we spoke about when we did Hilchas Choyla. Yeah. So that's a very interesting halacha there, that since Chazal understood that if a person comes first, Chazal allowed refuah on Shabbos for Choyla Kol HaGuf to a goy. If someone is confined to bed, so Chazal allow a person who's in such a situation, or is going to get such a situation, to ask the non-Jew to do even Rachel and Torah. So that's what heating is based on, heating, if it's very cold. I'm saying now, for example, today's weather, a day like today, for example, the chol, there's no hesitation to ask a non-Jew, well, it's not so cold, unless it's an older person in the house, maybe. If the older person's house, maybe he's going to become prone to get something, maybe he'll never be a heter. But generally speaking, if the weather's nice outside, to ask a non-Jew to put heating on, that's mamish also. Because you're asking a non-Jew, you can do with Erech Remiza, you do it in a hint form, you say to the non-Jew, it's very cold in this house, I don't know what I can do. And a non-Jew says, oh, should I put it on for you? I'll put it on for you. You can't do it. Because there is creating a positive benefit. Putting the fire on is a positive benefit. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. If it's very, very cold and people can become ill from it, it's a new matter. Sorry?
Ignore it.
What?
You can ask directly.
Yeah, then you couldn't even ask the director. In fact, you can ask the director. Here we're talking about hinting. I'm just trying to think where else there is. Where else could there be? I mean, books is a different problem. If someone's left something in the garden, for example, it's watching it get stolen. So what's that? It's a shadow moving moxer. So can you ask the non-Jew to move that inside to the garage, let's say?
Why has nothing to do in the garage?
Why? Because I want to protect it. But that mechira is not, it's not a positive benefit there. It's not creating. It's just moving something from one place to another. That mechira is not a positive benefit. Mechira, that is mechira also. So again, there's two instruments on Amir Lakum. One is the actual asking of the non-Jew to do a melacha for you, which if you do it derech hamizah in a subtle hint form, that is mosa. And then so far we've got now is an isal hanor from a non-Jew doing melacha for you. If it's an indirect hanor, it's not a positive benefit, you get around the problem. And therefore to ask a non-Jew to switch a light off in the room, in an indirect way, is taka mosa. Okay.